place, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman, taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And today we have an old friend of mine in the studio. Welcome to the show, Christine Blossdale.
Thank you. Well, now let's reframe that. An old friend, let's just say, I've known you for many years. I'm not old yet.
You're not old. You're not old. But the fact is, if you're listening, we met in 2018. I was a new author. I had just written the book, How to Make a Six-Figure Income Working Part-Time. And Christine was on the radio and she took a bet on a new author. It was my first podcast. I was so nervous and she was so kind to host me on her show. And when I got the email of her request to be on this show, it was so exciting for me to oblige and return the favor. And I just feel like life is so circular sometimes.
It is. And you're doing such an amazing job with your show, with your very own podcast. So I'm honored to be on your program. And it seems so interesting because usually I'm the one that's doing the interviewing, right? So I'm very grateful to be the interviewee this time.
Yes. Now you get to shine and we get to tell the world all about you instead of vice versa. So you deserve the spotlight today, Christine. So let me tell my audience about your illustrious background. So Christine Blossdale is the expert authority business coach. She is a 5-time number one best-selling author. Her background in broadcasting, public speaking, and marketing helps her ignite entrepreneurs, coaches, and authors to achieve remarkable success. She's been a media personality for over 25 years, and she's worked with industry giants like America Online and Microsoft. She is a leading authority on brand building, social media strategies, podcast mastery, publishing guidance, and website consulting, as well as she comes up with unique marketing tactics that drive amazing results. So Christine, you have been in this space way before everybody and their brother had a podcast. You've been doing this for 25 years, interviewing people, telling stories. Tell us your journey. How did you get to be in the broadcasting space and what are you doing? Where has your journey taken you now?
Oh, wow. Yeah, you know what? It's been a long journey, but every step of the way, I've learned so much and I've met so many amazing people like yourself. You know, I've been really blessed to have conversations with just fascinating people that I've always wanted to know. I've learned a lot along the way. I've interviewed, you know, celebrities, big stars, authors, thought leaders, and it's just been such a great journey. And I always feel very respectful of the fact that there's a great deal of power that you have when you're on the air. If you're a radio host and you're talking to thousands of people, if you're a podcast host, or if you're just starting out and you've got like 5 listeners, you know, there's a great responsibility. But I started off really, I was very lucky. I got to write for America Online back in the day. Remember when America Online was the only thing? And it was that...
Was that, that AOL?
Yeah, AOL.
Okay. When
the screeching, you know, that horrible sound when it would come
over. The chat rooms. That's where the party was happening.
And that you've got mail. That, but it was really the thing. And so I was very lucky to get a daily column because we wrote back then. We didn't have the video interaction. And so I wrote a daily column called The Daily Fix, and I wrote it through a cartoon character. I didn't want to write it through Christine Blossdale because who cares about Christine Blossdale? But they wanted to have some vampy kind of character, and I had a cartoon character called Beatbox Betty. Now, Beatbox Betty was anatomically incorrect, drawn, you know, horribly incorrect, but she was like a martini totin, head a hopper, sort of gossipy kind of sloshy lady. And she got to do movie reviews and celebrity interviews and all those things. So I got to be thrown right into Hollywood, and it was a blast. I did write the way I was trying to have a very broad audience that I could appeal to. So I wrote for people that they could be 8 years old or 80, right? And anywhere in between. And so the style was sort of like, you know, those Shrek movies.
Yeah.
You know how, so Shrek, you know, appeals to kids and appeals to adults because there's some adult little underlying humor in there. So that's how I wrote. I worked for them for about a year and a half, 2 years. And then 9/11 happened. Mm-hmm. And on that day, I said, do people really care about, you know, what Drew Barrymore is wearing or who she's dating? Or, you know, I really had to take stock in what I was doing. And I was searching. And, you know, as you do, that when you're searching for those answers, a lot of times they come right at you. Yeah. And so I remember driving in Los Angeles, stuck in traffic, as you always are. And I was channel surfing. And this radio station came up. And it was so refreshing. It was actual people talking about what they thought was going on, and actual conversations about the U.S., the policy in the Middle East, and what had happened for decades. And I was like, wow, this is not like CNN and NBC and all those other media outlets. So I was so impressed by their originality that I actually drove to this radio station and walked in and said, can I thank people here? Can I just say how grateful I am and just thank people? And they looked at me like I was crazy because they're like, wait, you're not here to complain? You know, you're actually here to do something nice? I said, of course. And so they let me walk in, and I never left. I basically walked in. I said, thank you very much. And they said, what do you do? I was like, oh, I'm a cartoon character that writes for AOL. And they said, you should, you know, think about volunteering. And I said, oh, I can do that. You go, yeah, you can do that. And so I started volunteering as a writer and as a producer. And then I got that moment, that Hollywood moment where they say the star can't be on to host the show at 5 o'clock. You need to go on, Christine. And I was like, no, hell no, I don't need to go on. I don't want to go on. I like to be behind the scenes. And they're saying, no, you have to, because the show's got to go on and you need to be on mic. And so I went in very reluctantly, and I was not mad, but I was just like, I don't want to do this. And that on-air light went on, and I looked at it, and it was just me in a studio looking through the glass at an engineer. And all of a sudden, it just happened. Like, I just started talking and connecting to people that I would never see, but I could feel them. Mm. And, you know, not to be too, you know, woo-woo.
You can be woo-woo on this show.
Okay. There was this magnetic attraction, this connection that I had. And it was as if I could hear the audience, you know, asking questions. Like I would say something, or a guest would say something eventually when I had guests. And I could hear the audience saying, yeah, but what about this? Or they just, so I had this really great connection to radio and broadcasting. And I did that for 20 years at that station, and raised a lot of money because it was a non-commercial station, and just met some amazing people like yourself.
Yeah.
And then podcasting came around, and come on now. With radio, when you're a radio host, the show, it goes out terrestrially. It goes out and it's gone. And if you didn't tune in, you missed it. And I thought, what is this new thing called podcasting? This was about 9 or 10 years ago. And I said, this is cool, because I could do an interview, a show, and it can stay around for many years if I wanted it to. And I started getting into doing my podcast, Out of the Box with Christine. Loved it. And since then, I've been teaching others, been showing entrepreneurs how to create their own podcast so that they can get the word out about their business, but also to help people leave legacy. Yeah. And I have a lot of clients that are in their 70s and 80s, and they're creating kick-ass podcast shows to share their wisdom and their knowledge. So it's been full circle.
I love that about podcasts, that they live forever, they're evergreen, and it truly is your legacy. What are some aspects of a successful podcast? I know you coach many different things, but you do coach podcasts. What are, if somebody was thinking, I want to start a podcast, what do I need to do to be successful? Give us some advice.
It's the same advice I give my clients who want to have a tool, a marketing tool that will help their expert authority. I am an expert authority coach, right? So I will look at my arsenal of of marketing tools. And depending on the client, I might say, you need to write that book, because that book will become a bestseller. From that bestseller, you can get booked on shows. You can, have modules in a course. You can create a program, a special signature program. And then other clients that I work with, I'm like, you're screaming for a podcast. Everything that you do is screaming for a podcast. And the same thing plays in to having a podcast and writing a book. Number one, a really catchy title helps a lot. The cover, because we're visual people, so if we're looking on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, a lot of times we'll see a cover for the podcast. That's the image that you see, the title of the show, and of course the description. But the most important thing I tell people is that, just like with your book, you're creating the podcast for the audience. Mm-hmm. So with the book, you're writing that book for your readers. It's not for you, even though it is for you, and it's a great marketing tool. It's really about what you bring. What problem do you solve, or do you inspire people? Do you motivate them? Those type of things. If you focus on that and not your own ego, and you know, I always wanted to have my own show, so this is me. Then you'll be able to really connect with listeners. So it's about the same as writing that book.
Or speaking, right? When you're thinking about yourself, you're completely in your head and self-conscious versus focusing out at the audience and connecting with people.
And absolutely.
Yeah. What do you think makes a great public speaker?
It's being authentic, mm-hmm, and relatable. I've found in my many years, and I've watched from the sidelines, how, you know, right now we're in a phase where humanity is hungry for authenticity and to be able to relate to others.
Yes.
The days of perfectionism, and there was no such thing, but that Kardashian model of perfect, you know, super successful, that's all great to watch at like a train wreck in some respects, to watch from the sidelines, but people are craving that connected. We're one big tribe, right? We forgot about it, and we've been pushed into individual, you know, aspirations, but really we want that connection. And so I find with myself and with my clients, I really encourage them to have that authenticity and to that relatability and to let go of that perfectionism model, because you can't maintain it. It's not who you really are. And people are not going to be able to connect with that. And they can smell it. You know, people can smell desperation. They can smell when you're trying to be too perfect. And I just say, show up as you are. People who want to work with me, that I say right from the get-go, by the way, I'm not stiff. I'm not corporate. I am simple, easy, and fun. And if you're ready to have some simple, easy, fun coaching and conversations, then work with me. But that's how I work. That's how I prosper. So that authenticity is really important, especially when speaking as well. Yeah.
I think messy is the new sexy. And
yes,
people who are new, either as new speakers or new on social media or new in podcasting, they're so scared of making mistakes. What would you tell the new person about their fear of making mistakes?
It's the same thing you say to your child. You know, it's okay to make mistakes. That's how you learn.
Yes.
And through my whole career, there have been times where I've either made a mistake or something happened. And it's not so much what happens, it's how you react, right?
Yes.
And how you react is everything. Because you can have a health challenge. And if that health challenge, if you look at the world and you say, why me? Why does everything bad happen to me? Woe is me. Then you become a victim of the circumstance. And I have found that in my life, when things have happened, even though at the moment they felt horrible or bad, in retrospect, I was like, wow, I'm really actually glad that that happened. Right? So it's the same thing in business. It's the same thing if you're creating a podcast. You're going to have some days where you're going to go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that great interview and I didn't hit record.
Oh, I've done it.
And
I was on a summit and the person who organized the summit forgot to hit record. I'm so glad that she had a good sense of humor about it. We're going to hold that thought and talk about authenticity when it comes to creating your brand. And when we come back from this quick commercial break, Christine is going to tell us how to create a compelling brand. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman. I'm interviewing Christine Blaisdell. Christine, how do we create a compelling brand? It seems like there's so much noise online and attention is the new currency. And how do we stand out with all that noise and create a really authentic, amazing brand?
I think the most important thing to remember is that, again, that the audience, your potential customers, clients, readers, audience members, are seeking out that connection, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're able to, with whatever business that you have, to make that connection in the most comfortable way, because I put it, it's kind of like if you're wearing shoes that are too tight. If you're trying to be something else, or if you think, well, this public speaker, this thought leader does things this way, and they're very successful, so I'm going to mimic that. Well, yes. It's not going to necessarily work. You have to work in your comfortable zone and where you feel that energy, that passion. It's like if somebody asked you to do this for free, you could do it and you could do it with your eyes closed, right? So it's not hard. And that's a wonderful way to start to develop your brand. But also, I think it's important for people to be consistent, because we tend to, as entrepreneurs and solopreneurs, to throw everything at, you know, throw all the spaghetti on the wall and see what sticks, right? I'll try this. I'll try that. I'm going to do this course. We separate ourselves up into so many different areas that we don't have that focus. And that area of focus needs to be consistent, whatever it is that your field is. The other thing is get a mentor or a coach that can actually see outside of your blinders. Because as we are solopreneurs and we're working in our houses or our basements or wherever, we tend to have blinders on and we only see a small portion. And when you have a professional coach or mentor who can look at your whole from a different perspective, can look at everything, then they can give you some really amazing insights on ways that you can expand your brand and say, you know, let's focus in on this. Did you know that you actually accomplish something really major here with XYZ, and then you can use that in your branding. And of course, I always say, create content, 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 content. Make those videos, write those books, create those podcasts, because that's going to help your brand extremely well.
How much is too much content? Is there such a thing as posting too much online or putting out too many videos?
You know what? If you're just doing it because you're just thinking that I need to pump out a lot of video or pump out a lot of content, then it's going to dilute it, the message. There should be some purpose to it. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important, that you don't just do it because you're told that you need to do it. The algorithm in such, especially with Facebook, but there's Facebook and Instagram, but like with TikTok, there's the algorithm is, it wants to find your tribe or your community. So it's waiting for you to create that content. But if you create stuff that has nothing to do with the message that you want to get out, and you're just posting because you think it's going to get you more followers, that's not going to work. So you do have to have a bit of strategic plan on that. But I always say, when it comes to developing your expert authority, those things that have your brand, your name, if it's your personal name, that's your brand, or your business, try and have as many of those things out at the same time and make sure that they're high quality. So don't just publish a book, you know, willy-nilly. Make sure that there's a purpose behind it. And that's what I try and do with every book that I do as well.
Do you have any advice for someone who has no idea what their brand should be, like where to start?
Yes, contact me.
So for the point of the podcast, like someone's like, I know I need to create an online brand, but I'm just a housewife, or I'm, you know, just, you know, out of college.
Never say just a housewife.
I know. This online space, what would be a good question for them to ask themselves to start?
Well, there's a couple different things that you could do. And I am serious about, I welcome people to contact me. I have a free strategy session where I can actually sit down with folks and just say, tell me who you are, what you love, and let's take a look at what the possibilities are for your brand. The other thing is to take and take stock in what you love to do. I have had people come to me. I've had women come to me and go, yes, but I am just a housewife, or I've just been so busy with the kids. And I'll say, well, you know, there's, as in society, we have for so long not put a lot of importance on that. And I think it is absolutely critical. And the relatability of someone like that to millions of women. So I always say, let's focus on something that you can talk about for hours, and you're still excited about it, and something that you're passionate about. And I've had some women that say, you know what, I'm really good at feeding my family of five for, you know, $20 or something. And I said, that's a best-selling book. That's an amazing book right there. And they go, really? I said, yeah, there's millions and millions of women and men who are single parents too, you know, who would love to learn those things. So it's really just, it's taking stock in those things that you're really excited about. And if you don't have the ability to talk to someone like myself, then reach out to someone that you admire. Maybe someone, you know, even like with Rebecca, who that you appreciate and you really admire the work that they do, they'd be able to see what you can't see. Again, because sometimes we're struggling, and sometimes we're in our little zone, and we don't see all the magic that's around us that we're sitting on.
I like to ask people, what could you talk about? Similar to what you said, you could talk about for hours, but what could you like give a speech on right now without even checking your notes or checking your phone? Just something that you are passionate about. And I feel like everybody has something. And even if it's something random, like astrology or needlepoint, it doesn't matter, because if you share about that, you will attract the people who have the same resonance with that brand. So going back to online and content and videos, do you have any advice for being on video, since you're such a great media coach? Do you have like certain like hacks or tricks, or where to put the camera, the title, or filters or no filters? Like, tell us how you teach how to create videos.
You know what the biggest obstacle I see with people that come into my world, my clients, is this fear of being on camera, mm-hmm. especially with women. And my clients, you know, 50 plus all the way up. I have an 82-year-old client, and she's completely comfortable on camera. She's like, I don't care. She's like, I'm just here to send this message out. But the imposter syndrome, we try to get over that right away when I work with people. The fear of, I'm too old.
How do you get
old.
Over it? Let's talk about, how do you get over imposter syndrome?
So a lot of times the resistance is, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too this, I'm too that, right? And so what I always say is this. it's not about you. Mm-hmm. And they go, what? But I'm on screen and I'm on camera and I've got to say these things. And I say, it's not about you. It's about the public that you're serving. It's about the customers that you're going to help. It's about the audience. It's who you're going to inspire. If you focus on the people that you're trying to help, if that's your business, if you're a coach, if you focus on them and their needs and get out of your own way and communicate your message so that you can say, this is how I can help you. Or maybe, hey, I've been through this. I've had this health scare and I got through it and you can too. You know, whatever your message is, get out of the way. Don't worry about what you look like. And I know people go, well, that's easy for you to say. I go, you know what? For the longest time, I didn't want to be on camera. I was in radio for 20 years. I would go to work in my pajamas. Mm. I think, Rebecca, probably when I saw you, I was probably maybe wearing shorts and sandals. I don't know. Probably no shoes at all. But because I like to be very comfortable in the studio. But the thing is that when you show up, you're showing up for them. So focus on them, on the people that you're serving or the children that you want to inspire, whoever your audience is. That really helps. And creating that content and letting it go, let go of it. You know, if you create a piece of content, if you do a video and you feel that there's the passion there and the message is there, don't worry if your hair is off or, you know, you're wearing a shirt that, you know, oh, there's a little wrinkle on it. People aren't even going to see that as long as you are really convincing in your message.
And because you teach authenticity, I would guess that you teach not to use the filters.
Well, on the social media apps, there are some filters that you can use that can soften the look. Yeah. But I don't like to have people look completely different than who they are. Nice. But I understand being 60, I'm almost 61 and I was in Los Angeles, the kid with all the sun and the baby oil. And man, my skin, I hammered my skin from the sun. And so I understand the allure and the attraction of having a soft filter. Absolutely.
I like you want filters are the new plastic surgery.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. But eventually you're going to have to meet somebody in person and they're going to see you. So you want to look as you know, close as possible. When it comes to your brand too, I really encourage people, put the money towards getting a professional headshot, please. Don't do just a selfie. You want to be well lit. And that professional headshot, if you get a good photographer, you might get a few photos out of it that you like. That headshot is going to be your moneymaker. Mm-hmm. You can use it on your website, on your social media, on the back of your books, your media kits, all of that. So it may cost a little bit of money in the beginning, but that professional headshot, that professional photo is gold. Rebecca knows this because you've got some great photos.
Thank you.
Some great headshot. Yeah.
I like your photos because this speaks into your teaching of authenticity. You're so like out there and just like expressive and wild in your photos. Is that part of your just personality? Is that your strategy? Is that your brand out of the
box?
That's
my brand.
What is that wild personality coming out in your photos?
Yeah, that's my brand. If anybody's ever seen, the money shot one is usually, I have my headphones on in this photo. I have a microphone in front of my mouth and I'm laughing and I'm just having joy.
Yeah.
Right? Because we don't have enough joy in the world. So I'm just being very joyful. You can't even see my eyes. You couldn't even see my eyes because they're squinty because when I'm laughing so hard. That has a lot of energy. And as you know, energy, you can feel it. So that particular photo of mine, I love, it does get great response, and that's part of my branding because I do so much with audio and video and editing and on-air stuff. That's why the headphones and the microphone are on. But it's really the energy of the facial expression and connecting with people that way. I want to work with people that have the same sort of energy that I have. I don't want someone who's stiff or serious or angry. I want joyful, happy people. You know, we all have ups and downs, But I really, for the most part, want to spend my time with people that are passionate and excited about being here in this world.
I totally agree. And one of my favorite spiritual teachers, who also had a show on the same radio station, KPFK, is Michael Beckwith. He says, joy is the evidence of God. So did you ever interview Michael Beckwith or pass him in the hallway at KPFK?
Oh, no, he's been on during the fun drives. I've interviewed him and had him on the show, and he's lovely. He is lovely. When he talks to everything stops. You just want to listen, you know, he commands that attention. And that's what I would love to do, is just to command that attention wherever I walk. If I walk into a room, people go, oh, she's talking.
I think you do.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think you got that. We're going to cut to a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to learn something really potent. So if you're driving, you might want to pull over and get something to write with. It is called the win-win-win approach to success. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone, to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. It's Rebecca Whitman, and we are interviewing Christine Blaisdell on her win-win-win formula of success. Now, I've heard about win-win, but you added a third win. So explain to us, what is this philosophy about?
So as we can see all around us, the world of greed and me, mine, the scarcity mindset is really falling apart. It's the more greedy we see institutions and people be, it's their ultimate downfall, right? We see it. It's happening. It's all around. So I have always believed in the win-win-win philosophy. And people, when they ask me to sort of explain it, I do hearken it back to the days of when I was at the radio station. And I had to raise a lot of money for the station. I had to raise funds. Luckily, over the years, I raised over $20 million for the station and the network. I know. And for something that people already get for free, you know, they could turn on the radio. They don't have to pay for it.
So you need to add sales to your bio, because you don't know anything about sales trainer. You can teach people how to sell too. If you raise $20 million.
Well, it's the same. It's the same thing of knowing really what people crave and what they want. And there's the three pillars of that. And it's health, wealth, and love.
Mm-hmm.
Not in any particular order, but health is pretty darn important, because if you don't have health, you can't enjoy your wealth or your love. So those three things are really important. So I've always focused on those three things in any job that I've done, any work that I've done. I've really focused on those things. But the win-win-win is when you have a situation where, and when I was fundraising for the station and the network, I would find a wonderful guest who would have a thank you gift that I think would be amazing. And that thank you gift would either be relating to health, wealth, or love, right? So something along those lines. And what I did is I made sure, first of all, instead of just doing a commercial and hammering people over the head with, you know, buy this or, you know, give us money and we'll give you this, I really wanted to have that story with the person who created it, who developed it. We'd have a story, we'd have an arc, and then the last few minutes, then I would say, you know, here's how you can get this amazing thing. So that in sales. But the win-win-win is, with the success of that model, not only did the audience get to win because they got an amazing thing, right? They were inspired, they were motivated, they got a message of hope, or they actually got a thank you gift that had a high value. But then also, the person that I was with, the people that were supplying the item or the thank you gift, they won because they were getting amazing publicity. I mean, I'm talking to them for however long, and so they have their joy, and then of course I win because I would be very successful at that. 1.5 million a year is what was coming in. So when you have those things where the audience is winning and the person that you're talking to is winning and you're winning, then it raises the energy and everybody wins. So nobody is getting shystered. In other words, nobody is taking all the, you know, all the pieces and leaving somebody with nothing. And you see it every day. You see it every day with people in business when people are not being true and honest. And I've talked to folks all the time. I say, you want to make sure that you're radiating at that level, that energy of that win-win-win, because then in every encounter that you have, every transaction that you have, it's all going to be above board and it's all going to be positive, right? It's that idea of, oh, I can get one over on somebody, or I can, you know, that model is gone.
And I think that model of sales is gone. You know,
absolutely.
People are so sales averse, and it's the whole why people hate going to car salesmen or car sales lots. And people, they just don't want to be sold anymore. They want to feel like it can still be a negotiation, but like you said, everybody walks away with a prize, feeling good.
Everyone walks away feeling good, and then the ripple effect of that. Because you want to have that ripple effect that people go, oh my goodness, not only did I get something of high value for myself, and in that transaction, in that energy transaction, this other person also benefited. But then there's the ripple effect is like when you go home, you treat people differently. You know, it's that beautiful exchange. And I think we are transitioning to a world where there is more. Hey, you know what? Everybody can raise up. There's so much in the world. There's so much. And the idea of the scarcity mindset is ridiculous. We're so much, we are so blessed to have all of the talents that we have, and we can share those with others. I really, truly believe that. Absolutely.
I really believe your every thought, every word, every sentence is either scarcity or abundance.
Yeah.
So how do you switch from scarcity to abundance, because there is part of our brain that thinks there's not enough time, there's not enough energy, there's not enough years left, or whatever it is. How do you switch from scarcity to abundance?
It takes a lot of practice, and sometimes you're not that great at that game. Mm-hmm. You know, I've caught myself sometimes going down the spiral, or they call it the bathtub. You know, when you let out the water of the bathtub and it goes down the drain, mm-hmm. that spiral. And it's been in relationships, it's been in business sometimes. But that idea of, oh, that little voice that says, you know, oh, they didn't answer my text. They must hate me, or they must be cheating, or whatever.
Right? Right.
We go to the worst case scenario. You know, I got a little cough. Oh, I must have cancer. We tend to do that as human beings. And so it's really taking a moment and actually stopping the presses and stepping aside and looking at it reasonably and going, really? Maybe she's just busy and she didn't answer the text because she's driving. Perhaps, right? Let's wait and see. And so it's the same thing with that abundance mindset versus the scarcity mindset. So whatever it is that is in life, if you're really passionate about what you're doing and you're trying at your hardest, you know, to make things work out, sometimes it takes the feet off the accelerator and just coast for a bit and just see how you feel. It's amazing what happens when your mindset changes. And again, sometimes those things, when they don't work out, it's for a reason.
Yeah.
Right?
Rejection.
How many times? Rejections. It's your best friend sometimes.
It is. So
it's flipping the script, and it's looking at it in a different way as well.
Well, let's end with your epic story that you told me before we hit record you're going to turn into a TED Talk. So now I'm going to hold you to it. I'm putting it on the air. What is your story about the last flight out?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, as we know, we had a global pandemic not too long ago. Actually, my wife and I had been married a bit before, but I was living in Southern California and she was here in Australia, New South Wales. And so I was sort of going back and forth, very expensive, very long flights, but we were going back and forth, and I was going to, I was going to be moving here to Australia. And I was supposed to be flying out in April of 2020 to come here to Australia. Had worked everything out, had somebody staying at my house and watching my things and everything. And she called me up and she says, I think you need to move up your flight. You got to bump it up. And I said, do you know how hard that is? Do you know how difficult that is? I've made arrangements for this, that, and the other. And she said, I don't feel good about this thing, this COVID thing. And I was like, it's just a flu. It's not a big deal. It's not going to, you know. And she's like, no, I just, so I listened. I listened to her and I listened to my intuition too. That kind of felt a little funny. You know, you got to feel a little funny. You go, oh. Yeah. And so I went to check my flight and it was gone. It was completely erased. Virgin had canceled all the flights. I was like, what? Panicking. Called up the partner airline and they said, yep, I'm looking at the computer screen and all these flights are going dark. There's nothing.
Wow.
And I said, I have to get to my wife. I have to get to our kids, our two children. I have to get there. How do we work this out? And the lady said, literally, she goes, there's one flight. It leaves today in a few hours. Do you want it? And it was just that moment, Rebecca. It was that moment in time where I like looked around. So imagine right now, just looking around at your house and just seeing, you know, your photos, your, you know, plates in the sink, you know, your bed's not made. And you go, I gotta go. And you just leave it. So luckily I had a dear friend who took me to the airport, because, you know, going to LAX is not the funnest thing.
Yeah.
But we took me to the airport. I got on the flight. And when I landed in the evening here in Australia, about an hour or two later, they slammed the borders shut.
Wow.
So it was the last, and it was the very last flight out of Los Angeles. And then, you know, 2 years, whatever, the borders remained shut. So I wasn't able to come back to the United States. And it was very weird when we took off, going off the tarmac, as soon as we lifted up, I had this sinking feeling and I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to see the country that I was born. All I knew was America, right? Mm-hmm. I just knew that I had to get to my wife and that was the most important thing. And I had faith. I had this faith that I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen when I get there. I don't know how I'm going to deal with anything. I just knew that I had to be there and I had my important documents. I had my passport and my birth certificate. And money, cash. That was it. I just said, I just have to have faith. And it all worked out. It all worked out. Really
and then
well.
Who, you said you left everything in LA, the bed was unmade, the dishes were in the sink. Who took care of like closing out your apartment and getting you out of LA?
I did have somebody for like a year, I had someone staying there and watching the place. And then eventually my landlord was like, you know, you're not coming back. Like, we need to get you out of here. And I was like, but I'm 7,000 miles away. And I had a dear, dear friend, Jill, who is a love bug. She actually went into my house and went through everything and said, keep, donate, throw away, keep, donate. She helped. She sold my car for me, cleared out the place. So it's really weird too when you're on a Zoom call looking at things in your house from 7,000 miles away and going, wait a second, do I want to? Keep that. No.
Well, have you come back to the United States to get the stuff that you wanted to keep?
No, I had to do the shipping container thing, which was quite costly. And really all I wanted was my paintings. I do abstract paintings and I really wanted my paintings and my photograph, my photos of my mom and my family and things like that. And of course you always have those tax documents wherever you go. Because even in Australia, you still have to file your taxes in the US. Yeah.
Wow. You can't get out of that, right? Death and taxes. So, and now you're a dual citizen.
Yeah. Yeah. I just had my citizenship last month. Yeah.
You have to pass a really hard test like other countries.
Nah, not too bad. Not too bad. All the tough stuff has already happened with the visas and everything. That was a very interesting. The United States and Australia are very tough on they have very strict immigration laws and things like that. But I'm so happy. Everybody here has welcomed me in with open arms. I feel as Aussie as, you know, my wife always says, you know, she's like, you're getting an Aussie accent. Now don't lose your American accent. And I said, okay, I promise. I promise.
Like, I fell in love with you for your American accent. Well, say something. Say the name of your podcast with an Aussie accent.
Oh, Out of the Box with Christine.
Perfect. On that note, how can people find your awesome podcast that I had my very first guest appearance of any show in the world on? So you will always have a space in my heart, Christine. How can people find your podcast, your website, anything about your coaching program? How can we stay in touch with you?
They can find everything at expertauthoritycoach.com. Also christineblasdale.com, but some people can't spell my name. So it's expertauthoritycoach.com. That's the best way. And it's got links to all the podcast shows and the books that I've written. And also if people want to have that strategy call with me, they're welcome to sign up right there at the website, expertauthoritycoach.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for listening to the show. Thank you, Christina, for being my guest. And thank you for being a part of our mission that you can have happiness and success in life without burnout. You do not have to hustle and push your energy around. You can find alignment and get everything you want. This has been another amazing episode of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. Thank you, everybody, for listening, for sharing this episode out. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone.